Roller coaster of love. Say what? Roller coaster. Roller coaster of love. Say what? Roller. Oh, hi. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Music from the Curator's Chair. I'm your host, Scott. Welcome back. I'm sorry that you heard me singing along to Love Roller Coaster, as we call it, Roller Coaster of Love by Ohio Players. But I was kind of in a soul-rific sort of mood, you could say. I kind of had a feeling to listen to some of that. But wait a minute, why am I listening to the Ohio Players when I should be listening to the Black Keys? Ohio Players, Black Keys. Is this a segue? Yes, it is. Yes, it is indeed. A segue to a new album review for me, for Music from the Curator's Chair, for the album Ohio Players by the Black Keys. Kind of an interesting title name, to say the least, because there's no, like, I don't know if this is meant to be a covers album or not. I know their last album that they did like that was Delta Cream, which wasn't bad. I kind of like that one. But this album came out just today, as of this recording. And it's not too bad of an album, if you ask me. This is an album that I didn't expect to hear. Like, this is their 12th studio album that came out today on Nonesuch Records. And if I'm honest, some of the songs on here are all right and all. They're not my favorites, but a lot of them are pretty damn good too. A surprise, honestly, for some of them. Like, they did actually have a cover, which was kind of nice to see, but that was actually interesting to say at least, and also to see. Well, it was definitely awesome to see. There was someone that I didn't realize was on this, but hey, he was on here, and that's good to know. So that's nice to know. But anyways, let's get into the track workings of this album. Now, as it is out now today, I gotta say, This Is Nowhere, good way to start the album off right away. I think they had Beck on a couple of songs, How Bright It, as well as Perform on it. This Is Nowhere is the first track that I know he's on and he's helping out with, which is nice to see. He actually did a nice job with it and kind of helped make it feel solid for the most part. The elements to this song are just fantastic. Like, there's a lot of nice just rhythm and beat work that just feels so fantastic to listen to. Don't Let Me Go is another one that, like, when I listened to this track by track, I gotta say, This Is Nowhere had some nice elements to it. Same with This Is Nowhere, same with Don't Let Me Go. Don't Let Me Go felt like it was, like, a lot of these songs felt very, not generic, but felt like a very good way to start off an album and not end it in a horrible way, which is nice to see from the Black Keys, because sometimes their music can, for me, I feel like there's songs that are just from the early days. Not something I'll listen to a whole lot. There's something like Strange Times, Lonely Boy, or Black Door. Like, those are fine songs. Like, I don't hate them, but I don't find myself, like, needing to listen to them constantly. But Strange Times is the only one I can say I do listen to quite frequently whenever I'm in the mood to just get a song that's a very driving, heavy, like, very heavy driving rock song in a sense. Same with Lonely Boy, but Lonely Boy doesn't feel as solid as that, especially from the album El Camino. At Attack of the Leaves for both songs respectively. But as I'm going through this, Beautiful People in brackets Stay High was not too bad of a song. It wasn't my favorite. On the Game, mind you, was actually pretty solid, if you ask me. And I just found out that it was co-written, as well as the next one, Only Love Matters, with Noel Gallagher, which was kind of impressive. I didn't expect Noel Gallagher to unleash his writing skills with the Black Keys, but I knew he's been kind of like, I knew he was a bit of a fan of this duo. He's definitely mentioned, like, he hasn't really mentioned it, but I know he's mentioned in the past, like, I feel like he's kind of mentioned in the past he likes his indie pop stuff and, like, a lot of the independent work in general, because he's an independent artist as well. But I think he's a fan of artists like this doing work together where it's just the two of them on his own, because he basically does a lot of the work on his own when it comes to the first couple of albums. He's basically producing it all by himself as well, so it's nice to see him kind of, like, say, you know what, I'm gonna help out a little, like, some of the other artists like that. And I mean, The Black Keys also did produce this album as well with Danny Automator, which is nice. Always nice to see Danny Automator help out with them all day long. But these are the first four tracks are fantastic all the way through. I like a lot. I don't know if I'm going to put all of them into my favorites, but I know the next one after this, Candy and Her Friends, which is featuring the hip-hop artist Lil Noid. Yeah, not for me. Like, I'm not really a crazy hip-hop guy. Like, I mean, there are some rap artists, hip-hop and rap artists that I like. Some not so. This is the only song I can say so far in this album that I wasn't a fan of. Like, I just didn't feel like it added much, but I get it. This is the Black Keys trying to experiment a little bit more, and that's kind of their thing. They like to experiment a lot more than most people think, and that's fine. I don't want them to have to feel the need to just do this, that, and the other thing for people that are, like, the music industry and whatnot. Like, they don't need to, like, conform, and that's what I like about them. They don't try to conform. I Forgot to Be Your Lover, which is written by William Bell and Booker T. Jones. Whew, what a nice cover this was. I didn't expect it at all. And honestly, I felt like this was going to be another sort of like covers album in a sense. When I first saw the name, I'm thinking, oh, no. Like, I didn't want to listen to it all the way through until it came out today. So, like, people hearing snippets or what have you, I don't want to do that. I'm not that kind of person. If it's a single on its own, proper single, with a B-side of sorts, or maybe an EP, as a single, fine. But don't release the album and then do boom, 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 like piece by piece. I don't want that. That to me, sure, that's a little irrational, but to me, that just kind of ruins the album. If you can't get it to me on any sort of streaming service or any sort of like digital audio service where I can buy the single outright instead of the album, that I don't want to hear until it's complete. I have had that experience where I've been spoiled by that a few times, where I've gotten piece by piece by certain artists and whatnot, and it just kind of ruined the album for me. Like, I remember this with Who Built the Moon from Noel Gallagher when it released 7 years ago. I remember when it came out in 2017. I remember getting the first couple of tracks. First one that was released was Holy Mountain. I did not like Holy Mountain. I liked Fort Knox a lot more when I got to hear that one. And then It's a Beautiful World. I was like, I'm not a fan of this one. I'm enjoying the first track a little bit more. And then, like, as the album kind of came out in full, I started to like a few other songs in general, like Keep On Reaching and If Love Is the Law, The Man Who Built the Moon. I was starting to dig those ones a lot more than what I was given originally as single tracks. Like, that is something that I don't really like a whole lot when I'm given an album, like, piece by piece, and I can't listen to it all because there's only a few pieces. If you can't give it to me as a single, don't give it to me, period. Like, that's the thing that bugs me the most. But at the same time, I'm not one to be critical of how people release their music in that way. If that's how you want to do it, fine. But just remember, some people are completionists like myself. And, like, don't give us pieces by pieces unless you're going to just release them as a proper single. There's more work for the distributor that you're probably working with, but I'd rather you do it that way and give us more content, because you can give us B-sides as well with a single. And that's what most artists don't do anymore. They don't give us singles anymore, and that kind of, it kind of sucks a little bit. I would like to see more of that. Like, I'd like to see more single B-sides, you know? But I'm getting off track. Please Me Till I'm Satisfied was also a decent one, with Greg Cartwright also helping write the lyrics to it. It was not a bad song. Dan and Pat knew what they were doing with it, and I felt like the guitar, the drum work was fantastic. There was no real like feeling of like, what am I listening to? You know, there was none of that feeling. That's what I liked about it. Yo Pay was another track that had Noel Gallagher help out with the writing, which was also nice as well, and I really liked it quite a bit. Who else helped on this one? Who else helped on this? I can't remember who. Something Mike has it on too. Mike is I don't think it's George Michael. Oh, Leon Michaels. That's who helped write on some of these other tracks as well. And he wasn't too bad on Yo Pay as well with the writing. There's a but Paper Crown. I'm sorry, guys. This was another song that I didn't find good. Don't get me wrong, Beck is great. Juicy J of 3-6 Mafia is a fantastic piece to see on a rock album. Like, it's because he's known to kind of collaborate with a lot of other people. And he's kind of, I think he just tries to do it just for the sake of doing it nowadays. I feel like he just does it without really thinking after the fact. And that's fine. If he wants to do stuff like that, that's his decision. I'm not going to be mad if he does that. That's his choice, personally. I think it's fine if he wants to do that, but at the same time, I think he needs to remember what he's doing it for. And this one, again, not my favorite. Not like it sucks, but I was just not a fan of it. And that's fine. I don't have to be a fan of everything most artists do. I think Juicy J on his own with other, like if he was doing a song with maybe a rock, like if he was doing a song on his own with rock artist, I'd probably think the same way. But at the same time, I might enjoy it. I don't know. I just know what I heard, wasn't the biggest fan of, but I gave it a shot, and that's what matters, you know? Let's do a good couple times before I gave this review a whole listen through. Before I gave the album review, I gave it a good full listen a couple times. Maybe in the future, I might like it. I might not. I don't know. But right now, it's whatever to me. It's not a horrible thing on this 14-track album. It does feel like it kind of drones on a little bit longer than it should. Maybe it's because of Beck on there as well, but it was a nice switch-up to see Beck on an album like this, because the last album I remember getting from him was Uneventful. No, it wasn't Uneventful Days. It was Hypersonic or something like that. I think that's what it was. But I wasn't a fan of that. Like, there were some songs on there that were okay, but I preferred Uneventful Day and St. Vincent remix that I got for Record Store Day a couple years ago. Those were my favorites that I've listened to on a regular basis, more than most, when it comes to Beck. And then we have Live Till I Die, which actually doesn't feel horrible, but definitely works well for what they're trying to do with it. And I feel like at the end of the day, it also has Beck working on it as well, which is nice. But at the same time, I'm just like, I'm surprised, you know? Like, same with Read 'Em Weep, that one was also a decent one as well. That one had a nice rhythm to it. It felt like an old Black Keys song. Same with Fever Tree. Fever Tree felt a mixture of what I heard on Delta Cream and what I heard in, what was their last album? I'm trying to remember right now their last album, because I know I have some of their albums on my phone. On my device here, I should say, not my phone. But I do know I think it was it was Dropout Boogie. It reminded me of that one a little bit, and that was not a bad album. I liked it. Wasn't the best, but again, it had moments of that, and that's what this album kind of felt like. There's a lot of collaborations that felt a lot like that one. But that one only had one collaboration. This one had two. More three, if I'm honest. But I'm saying two tracks with collaborations. So three collaborations in total. If you don't count the songwriters, mind you. And then Every Time You Leave, the last track on the album to end this 44-minute blast from the past, I could say. Not a bad piece. It definitely worked well for what they were trying to do with it. And that's what matters. I don't like when an artist tries to do too much, too differently, all at the same time, to then fall down the hill, you could say. Because of the fact that, one, when you try to do so much with one album, like, you don't, like, you should sometimes, I feel, focus on what is going to work well and try to create something else completely. And that's what I don't mind. I don't mind when people do that. But what I don't like is when I see people trying to make music for everyone when they don't have to. They should be making music for if they really want to make music for their fans, do so. Don't try and make music for everyone else. If someone comes to you and says, I really like this album, Are you going to make anything more like that? Or are you going to try and change it up? I say try and change it up if you can, but don't try and change up too much. That's what can kind of make or break an artist. Unless they've been around for God knows how long. If they've been around forever, like they've been around since, let's say, the 80s or 90s, and they're still making music today, changing it up every now and then to make something different, or even making something, if they've been from the early 2000s, and they're trying to switch it up and trying to make something like a covers album of bluesy rock stuff, go for it. I'm not going to stop you. I think that's a good idea. That's what the Black Keys did at first. I didn't like Delta Cream. Now, as I've gotten older, I've found myself kind of saying, you know what? Maybe I was a little too harsh on it. It was mostly because I didn't know the song itself, but the production for me just felt kind of too garagey. You know what I mean? It felt too, like, there was too much going, too much ambient effects in the background. And that's probably why they did it, how they did it. And it was probably because they were doing it during the COVID lockdowns, maybe, and there was a lot of, like, ambient tones to it. And that's fine. I know what I heard wasn't the greatest, but I know right now what I'm hearing now, I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying it a lot. And I'm happy to say that Ohio Players by the Black Keys, funny that it's two bands technically that are like, I feel like getting reviewed here when it's actually not. It's just how it feels right now. I have to say this album in total gets, I'm not going to hate it. I'm not going to love it. Like, I'm not going to hate on it. I'm going to say this album gets a solid 7 out of 10. This is definitely an album, if you're a fan of the Black Keys and you're wanting more, you owe it to yourself to go out and get this album 100%. You cannot tell me you're a fan of the Black Keys and be, and like, tell me directly to my face that you like this album if you give this album a rating of a 4 out of 10 or something like that. You cannot tell me you're a Black Keys fan and tell me that. You cannot. Like, sure, you may hate it, but if you're saying you're a Black Keys fan and you give, you really don't like any of their albums except for some of their singles, then you're just a radio pop, you're a radio fan, you know what I mean? And that's fine. But if you're a true fan, you got to tell me what your favorite songs are from them. Like, I can say, so far from this album, I'm going to tell you right now, This Is Nowhere definitely works for me. You'll Pay, for sure. Live Till I Die, Fear Tree, Every Time You Leave, and even Don't Let Me Go are definitely some of my favorites on here. Even, if I'm truly honest, I'd say On the Game is definitely out there for favorites. Like, out of the 14 tracks we have, I'd say 6 of them or so, almost half, are my favorites on this overall. And that's not trying to be something I'm not. And I'm not trying to be that way. I'm just being honest. I have to say a lot of the stuff that's on here definitely works well. And it definitely is nice to see. And that's fine. But I know I want to see more from the Black Keys doing what they know best, and that will probably take some time. This album, like I said, gets a 7 out of 10. Their last album, I absolutely think I gave the same. I think I gave it a 9 or an 8. I absolutely loved it. It felt like a refresher. It felt like this is what I was hoping the Black Keys to sound like for years. This one feels like they're trying to follow up in a good way. And like I said, I'm feeling a very, very solid 8 out of 10, like 7 or 8 out of 10. Like, a good, I'm going to say 7. I'm going with my gut here, I'm going to say 7 out of 10. This album, not bad. If you're a fan of the Black Keys, or if you're just getting into them, I recommend Delta Cream. I recommend Dropout Boogie. I recommend Attack on Release. I recommend El Camino. If you want to listen to Brothers, go right ahead. I won't stop you. That's also a good one as well to listen to. But again, if you are looking to get into the Black Keys, I would say start here if this is where your journey begins. If your journey has already started and you haven't listened to anything from them in a while, this is a good way to start now. Like, just start now and listen to it and tell me what you think. Because you might find your opinion being different than mine, and that's fine. I want my opinion to be different than yours, you know? I want us to all have differing opinions on music, because not everyone's going to have the same taste. If we did, I feel like the world would be blinder than anything, and I don't want the world to be blind like that. But I am going to say right now, again, this album has some ups and downs, and that's fine. A lot of albums do. Not everything that most artists make are going to be fantastic. They're not going to be, like, straight out of the ballpark, 10 out of 10 all the time. That's not going to be the case for me every time I record a podcast recording. There will be some that will be a 10 out of 10, maybe because I'm slightly biased, but not everything's going to be that perfect. It takes a lot to become a 10 out of 10 in my books. But again, this is just an album by the Black Keys. The Black Keys are definitely a band that I don't see leaving us anytime soon, unlike Sum 41 has with their most recent one. And like I said, I feel bad that they're leaving us. A lot of other artists, a lot of other critics are giving it maybe a 7 or an 8 out of 10. I give it a 9. And I'm happy that they left on top. Yeah, not really on top, but they left with their sort of tone that they've been known to make. I'm going to try and see them on tour. I might even try and see the Black Keys on tour. Who knows? But I do know that the Black Keys don't give up. They don't really care what I think most of us think. I'm looking at the critic reviews on, like, the critical reception right now. Metacritic gave it an 80 out of 100. Rolling Stone's giving it a 4 out of 5. Pitchfork gave it a 7.5, I think 8.5, 7.5 out of 10. Yeah, 7.5 out of 10. NME gave it a 3 out of 5. Guardian gave it a 3 out of 5. And it's definitely, like, to see, like, guest musicians like Noel Gallagher and Beck on here, fantastic. I'm happy. Like, that's good. But at the same time, was it all that necessary to bring other artists in? Maybe not. But you know what? Their last album I absolutely liked a lot. And this one, same way. But since I'm getting on a bit of a weird, crazy tangent about everything, maybe I should get off of here and focus on my next review, which will be coming very soon. Movie-wise, music-wise, whatever it may be, it's coming very soon. And until next time, folks, this is Scott signing out. End transmission.